Yeah, I have to unmute yourself, Ron.
Thank you very much. No, I wasn't.
Ron, we cannot hear you.
Okay.
You need to unmute yourself, Ron.
Okay, now?
Better.
How's that now? Can you hear me now?
Good.
Okay, are we ready to go? Awesome, good. Well, good morning still. It's six more minutes before 12 o'clock, so I'm here to tell you something that there's a lot of people don't believe. I'm going to tell you that everything's all right. Everything will be all right. Now, the world doesn't believe it. Now, we talked earlier about walking with Jesus and reading the scriptures, how Jesus walked with the disciples through the scriptures. Now, I'm very proud of my granddaughters. I have two granddaughters. Let me just change this. Here we go. There. I have two granddaughters. One is 14 and one is 15. One is a singer, and she's done quite well at 14 years old. And I have a granddaughter that's 15 years old that plays the keyboard. And I was telling her about what I was going to be speaking on today. So she got a song together, and it's just about 1 or 2 minutes. And I'd like you to listen to it. I hope it's going to work. Let's see if it's going to work. Okay.
Everything will be all right. Though the worst are again. The world is in his hands. Your world is in his hands. The creator of the universe conquered every fear. Your world is in his hands. And everything will be all right. Everything will be all right.
Now, they're young, 14 and 15, and to them, everything's going to be all right. Well, she says, there's a man who calms all my fears and love that makes the pain disappear. He keeps his promises and takes care of me. He's the anchor of my faith. He's my guarantee. Then she goes on to sing, everything will be all right. And then she... bilingual, of course, so she, todo va está bien. The world is in his hands. Your world is in his hands. The creator of the universe conquers every fear. The world is in his hands, and everything will be all right. Now, do you believe that? Do I believe that? I mean, that's quite a statement with what's going on right now. I mean, we are scattered all over. Just like in Acts chapter 8, the persecuted church, they were scattered all over the country. And we're going to look into that. So, I mean, if I asked you truthfully, do you believe that everything is going to be all right? Think of it. We went through some of the problems earlier in the other message. We're going to go through some more of the problems. But today... this morning, this afternoon, we're going to talk about some of the positive things. So do you believe it? And we're going to be looking at, we've had the scripture reading in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to be referring to some of those the scriptures. I mean, how can you say, reading those scriptures, that everything's going to be all right? How can you say that? I mean, everything wasn't all right then. They were going through persecution. They were going through problems. Saul was in total agreement with putting Stephen to death, it says. So we have death. We have death today. People are dying. The left and the right, thousands, hundreds of people are dying all over the world, even in North America. But everything's going to be all right. Well, is everything going to be all right? And then we read in verse 1 also, and a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. Persecution? Everything's going to be all right? Come on, Ron. Be realistic. Everything's not going to be all right. But I'm telling you scripturally, and we're going to see that, that everything going to be all right. And then also in verse 1, and then later on down, it says, and they all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. Can you imagine being scattered? Aren't you comfortable in your home? Yes, we are confined, but our homes in general are very comfortable. Your home is comfortable. My home is comfortable. But in the time of the Apostle Paul, Saul, everything wasn't all right for the Christians. They were going through persecution. They were being, you know, even in verse 3, it says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every home and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Now, everything's going to be all right? I mean, that sounds a little bit of funny, don't you think so? Everything's going to be all right. But look at what we see here. Today, we can't see our loved ones. The work, financial problems. I mean, I would love to see some of my friends. I would love to be able to sit down with my friends and have a mate. But I can't even have a mate with anybody anymore. I can with my wife. And how about all of our friends who are out of work and the financial problems? How about not going to church? I can't go to the graduation of my son. I can't go to church. I can't have a memorial service for my father and mother who died. I mean, everything is not all right. So how can you say everything is going to be all right? Well, in the time of Paul, Saul, in the time of the persecution of the church, everything was. I mean, we have problems. Today, I can't. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't go here. I can't go there. You know, I love meeting Sunday morning with the saints. And thank you for allowing me to be a part of 16th Sunday morning for the worship service in the last probably month and a half. But I love meeting together. People say, as I said earlier, that I'm old-fashioned. But I love meeting together with the saints. And it's not because I'm accustomed to it. It's not because I've got a gun to the head. If I don't go boom, they're going to shoot me. It's not because I'm trying to get brownie points. It's because I love meeting with the saints. I love sitting there and just worshiping the Lord together. But I can't do it. But everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Yes? I mean, when you think of it, today, problems after problems after problems. I have phone calls and emails, and we're going to see. I have Skype messages. I have FaceTime messages. I have Facebook messages. I have Twitter messages. I have Instagram. I have all people ask me, why, Ron? Why? Ron, you think you've got the answer because you have the Word of God. And I'll tell you right now a little secret. It's helped me testify to a lot of people that I wouldn't normally testify to because they don't want to know the answer. But they are so many problems. So many problems. Yes? God will give you the strength to get through it. We hear this all the time. Don't worry. Don't worry, brother, sister. You're out of work. You've got no money. You're just about losing your house. You're going to lose your... God will take care of you. You know? Or you know, you hear, for instance, don't be afraid. Everything's going to be okay. These are different sayings. Everything is going to be okay. Your anxiety is lying to you. You are loved and going to be okay. These are sayings, and we say dichos in Spanish and French. We say these things. And you know, people say, well, Ron, everything isn't going to be all right. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Have no fear. Don't have that. Everything's going to be all right. Well, I am going to tell you that everything is going to be all right. And I love the word a pesar de. In spite of what's going on in the world today, everything's going to be all right. And we're going to see that from Scripture, of course. You know, the Bible shows us, as I was preparing this sermon, some of the things I was reading and praying and talking to different people on Skype and so on. One person said, I've got 100 Bible verses about everything going to be all right. Good, thanks. Yeah. Or have faith in God. Everything will be all right. Some people will say, well, you relax. Everything's going to be all right. Rest. Everything's going coming together. I mean, these are sayings we're hearing from people that don't have an answer. But you, there in your homes, if you've got Jesus Christ in your heart, if you're part of the family of God, if you're part of the universal church of, in the sense of being born again, regenerated, you can say that. One sermon I read, five promises that everything is going to be going to work out. Five. There's more than that. But anyway, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right, people tell me. Some people tell me. Most don't tell me that. It's going to be all right. Well, we are going through some very difficult times. Make no mistake, this new virus, this new epidemic, is a big problem that's expected to become bigger. Yes, the second wave could come. That second wave could come, and it could become bigger in the weeks and months to come. I don't know. I mean, I do listen to the news as I'm preparing this sermon. I'm listening to the news, and I wanted to get it right today with you. For those who are infected, as well as those who are trying to avoid infection, these are trying times, trying times. But amid all the doom and gloom, there are some positive story, positive messages, and reasons to remain hopeful. And we're going to touch some of them. This is not a negative message. This is a positive message. And if you have Christ in you, you can take this message and you can share it with those people around you. We can always hope that this threat brings us together in ways that helps us to better recognize the commonality. And it has. That's one of the positive things. I'm getting together with people I haven't seen for years and years and years and years. People are coming to church, which I'm going to talk about later on, that they haven't been for church for years. They're coming to church on Skype, on Zoom, on Facebook. Yes, everything is going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. You know, there's some very interesting facts that, you know, when the black, these are three big disasters in the world that we've gone through. There have been about 15 major pandemics in the last 2,000 years. All of them have lasted between 1 and 3 years. Are you with me? This is fact. So there's been 15 major pandemics like we're having right now. And most of them have between 1 year and 3 years. They've come back. The Black Plague, for instance, returned three times between 1347, 1629. They came three times. And in 1623, the Spanish flu came back a second time and was more deadly than the first time. And then, of course, we have the Great Depression. I don't know about that. I'm too young for that. But anyway, these are things that happened. And this could happen with what we're going through right now. We don't know. But we know who holds the future. And we know that he is in control. And we're going to be talking about that, the importance of realizing there's a reason. We always say, I like Christmas time. I love the saying, there's a reason for the season. Well, there's a reason for this. We don't understand it sometimes. You know, when I think of the story that we're really reading about Saul of Tarsus, was very interesting. Now, Saul was to the early church what the architect of the Holocaust, Adolf Hitler, was to the Jews who lived in Germany in the 1930s. Even as Hitler was zealous, he was zealous, zealous to exterminate the Jewish race. He did everything possible to wipe them off the face of the earth. So too, Saul was just as zealous to exterminate the Church of Jesus Christ. Saul, Paul himself, later testifies that he was as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. And that word zeal is very interesting. It comes from the noun zealous, and it comes from the verb zelo, and you know what it means? Hot, to boil, to be fervent. Paul was hot. He had the desire. He was boiling over. He'd do anything to wipe out the church. He tried. He didn't do it. And this pandemic isn't going to wipe out the church either. But I'm telling you right now that we can make a comparison, even though we're not in persecution in that sense, but we're going through problems like the early church was going through in Acts chapter 8. You know, and this brings me to the whole idea of the people called the premature death, another great man of God, Jim Elliot, at the hands of the Aka Indians in South America. But you know, for that seed, for the death of Jim Elliot, that seed that fell to the ground, he died. Much fruit has resulted. The life of Jim Elliot has impacted thousands of people. It has motivated hundreds and thousands of people to go out to the highways and byways of life to tell men and women, boys and girls about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know, as I was saying to Joanne a little bit earlier, I've had the privilege of working with different people and have traveled a bit. And I could get pictures with, you know, Billy Graham, hi. Or I could have got a picture with Louis Palau, hi. You know, you like to get a picture with a famous person. If you ever want a picture with me, just ask me. But anyway, as I was saying, when I was in Amsterdam 2000, I wanted a picture with these two gentlemen. Now, these are the Aka Indians that murdered Jim Elliot back in January the 8th, 1956. Now, why did I want to have a picture with him? Because I was 11 years old then. And even though people thought Jim Elliot and the other four missionaries died prematurely, I became a missionary because of the death of Jim Elliot in 1956. I was only 11 years old. I was a kid, but I was so impressed with the life stories. And I read all of the 7 books that were written about it. And I'm not a big reader of books. So what we're going through now, this pandemic, these problems, fruit is going to come out of this. And we've got to keep that in mind. And realize, you know, because the persecution and the death of the different Christians, you know, Stephen's death opened the floodgate of persecution. They stoned Philip. They killed him. They tortured him. But did the gospel continue? Was there any fruit from this seed, the blood that of this martyr? Did seed come out of it? I believe it did. And even though we're going through some very difficult times, some of you are going through worse times than I am, and I appreciate that. And I'm praying for you. As I said earlier today, I have the book here and I take it out now and then and I pray for you. And I'm praying for people all over the world that are going through troubles. And I'm trying to tell them that everything is going to be all right if they accept what Jesus says in the Word of God. That's what's going to help them get through it. You know, it says in the Word of God, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abandons it and bideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And that's what we're going to see in my message today. That seed of Stephen's planted in the ground of Jerusalem is still bearing fruit to this very day. Because of that persecution, there's still fruit coming out of that. To most men, Stephen's death, again, was premature. Taking him in his prime, they said. But to God, Stephen's death was sovereignly decreed before the foundation of the world, so that his death might play a critical role, a crucial role, a role in the divine plan of redemption. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? First, we're going to see the different thing. How we're going to attack this little message is 3 points. And I borrowed this from somebody, but I've just changed it a bit. But anyway, here is how to get through the pandemic. Let's try to remember who God is. Okay? Let's try to remember. In spite of what's happening to you, in spite of the difficulty, in spite of not seeing your grandchildren, and not in spite of not going to the graduation of your son or your daughter, in spite of, let's try to remember who God is. Then we're going to do, let's try to remember what God can do. We've seen what he's done in the past. He's proven himself. Let's not forget that. And let's remember what God can do. We used to sing, God can do anything. I won't sing that either. But anyway, the third thing is, let's try to remember to allow God to keep working through you in spite of what's going on. It is so, so important, these 3 points. You know, these crises we're going through, we looked at those three pandemics years ago. But how about this? For many people right now, the scale of the coronavirus crisis calls to mind 9/11. And people are thinking of this. And people are thinking also of the financial crisis in 2008. People are bringing these things up as I talk to them. And these two events, and how about this one? How about the emergency global medical pandemic that we're going through right now? This has shaped, it has reshaped society from how we travel. I can remember traveling all over the world. I would have a nice napkin and I would have a nice fork and a knife. Now you go there. We came back from Argentina and we had nothing, nada. We didn't get anything on a plate nice, and we didn't even get plastic cutlery. This is going to reshape the world. But there's positive things in this that you're going to enjoy hearing about. You know, it's going to reshape religious world. I mean, you know what I mean? How could the Muslims have celebrated Ramadan? How could they have? How could we really have celebrated Easter? It's going to change the whole world, and it is changing the whole world. And we've got to be ready to change also. So let's try to remember who God is. God, the nature of God. You know, with this outbreak, it doesn't change the nature of God. And the nature of God is love. He loves you. Now, if you're not a Christian and you're listening to this, I am telling you, if you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you are going to be able to pass through these dark waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's for you if you want to accept Jesus. This virus has no limits. Wow. When I listen to the news and watch the television, I see all the different people who have been affected by this. But nothing in the Bible, nothing in the nature of God suggests bad things won't happen in the course of life. And yet I am not alone. When I'm going through these problems, I was telling Joanne earlier, when some of you weren't on, that I had two fathers and four mothers. I mean, I went through a childhood, but see, God was with me. And all through that time, God was with me. And he comforted me. He helped me. And as I read the word of God, as I walked with God through the scriptures at 10, 11, 12, 13, those teenage years, they weren't easy. But you know, I can even say now that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Can you imagine a person at school who failed the same grade twice? Can you imagine a person going to school who passed on trial 1, 2, 3 times? Can you imagine a person going through school that just didn't get it because of going from one school to another school to another school, changing from this place to that place to this place to that place? But God brought me through it. And today, excuse me, It's Dr. Ron Edgecombe to all of you. Would you please have a little more respect? I'm only kidding. But you know, God can do anything. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Yes? When we think of the story of Joseph, Joseph said to them, this is from the Bible, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it to for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of my many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Remember Joseph from his brothers? He was thrown into that into that pit. And then he was brought out of that pit, and they sold him to the Egyptians, and he went down to Egypt as a slave. People were to say, well, that God wasn't very good there, was he? Yes, he was. It was all in the plan of God. So we remember what God can do. We've already said his nature doesn't change. He's a God of love, and he loves us in spite of what we sometimes have to go through. And sometimes what we have to go through will make our eyes turn to him and look at him rather than our surroundings. But also remember what God can do. And he did it to Joseph, and it brought good out of bad. And Joseph became just about the ruler of Egypt. So God can do that for you and I today, even though many times, something good comes out of something bad. But why do good come out of bad? Now, after the persecution in Acts chapter 8, and later on this afternoon, read the whole chapter. In chapter 8, after the persecution, after the killing, after the scattering of all the Christians, after the havoc in the church, people realized way down the centuries how positive that was. The gospel went from Jerusalem all over the world, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Now, if those Christians had not gone through persecution, I might not be a Christian today. I don't know. I mean, if they stayed in Jerusalem and had a pity party and all sort of, oh, we're in persecution, they're killing all the Christians, they're feeding us to lions. No, they scattered. Oh, I love that. I love that. Because of Stephen's death, it shook the church to its very foundation. And I'm hoping, in a sense, that this pandemic is going to shake our churches today. The church was a happy place. It was a nice place where you could sit down and have tea and enjoy one another's company. It says that they met together regularly. I mean, they were having a great time. I mean, nothing was wrong. They were just, like a social club, maybe. I don't know. I'm not saying that biblically, but it could have been. It sounded like they were having no problems. And God told them to leave Jerusalem and go out. And after the death of Stephen, that's what we see. And that's pretty well positive. You will never be the same after this pandemic. I will never be the same. 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel won't be the same. Do we realize how many people are probably watching that we don't even know? I mean, this is being scattered all over the place. Suddenly, in the early church, the honeymoon was over. This time together in the homes. I mean, they were eating and drinking. And remember the disciples, how that they had to get after the Christians? They said, well, why don't you eat in your own homes? Remember the story? They must have asked, what happened? Why has God let this happen? Why had God let them down? Why hadn't God rescued Stephen? Why hadn't God simply shown those rock-throwing unbelievers who was boss? And I love a song we used to sing. He could have called 10,000 angels when he was on the cross. He could have snapped them with a laser beam, just like that. But he died for you and for me, so that we can get through these pandemics, we can get through problems in our life, that we can share our faith with others, that we have the hope, we have the answer, because we have Jesus. And that's the most important thing. But what are happening today? Many people, why? Where is God? Why could God have done this? How could God have done this, we're saying? I mean, how could a good God allow this to happen? These are things people are saying. And people are depressed. Why? 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 I can't go on. I'm dispersed. Desperate. I'm undone. But for us today, the entire process, if we look at it, in some aspects, is a wonderful thing. Now, I'm not saying the deaths are wonderful. I'm not saying that all of it. I'm just saying what the Bible shows me in the persecution of Stephen, and the death, and the scattering, and the all the problems there. Christianity might have stayed in Jerusalem forever. God wanted the message in Asia, so he allowed the persecution. God wanted the message in Africa, so he allowed the terrible things to happen. God wanted the message of grace in Europe, so he allowed the messengers of death to follow on the same route as the refugees. Can you imagine the refugees leaving Jerusalem, hundreds of them leaving Jerusalem, talking? And even when the Egyptians, when the Israelites left Egypt to go to the promised land, there was a lot of Egyptians with them. Yes, I believe that. And if I'm wrong in that, you've got my email. But I believe I've read that. And it's just like the scattering of the Christians. I'm sure when they went, other people went with them, loved ones, friends, relatives, and they heard the gospel of Jesus. I can remember when Goma Zaire was going through problems in 1995, I believe. I was called, and I went there for a month to 5 different camps. About 1,500,000 people were in these camps, and I went there. And I made a report, how can we evangelize these people? I mean, they were refugees. They were living in tents. They were hungry. I mean, it was terrible. And yet we presented the gospel of Jesus Christ in all 5 camps. We put up huge, huge pantagia, we call them, screens. And we projected evangelical, the Jesus films, and all these things, and they'd all be standing there. They had nothing else to do. We had a captive audience. And all around the thing, you'd see the United Nations with their rifles, but with their machine guns. Because if one rock went throwing through the air at the screen, there could have been a riot. And the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached to 1.5 million people. God brought positiveness out of the genocide. Yes, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. And I agree with you. It is hard to believe. You know, when I was preparing this sermon, I remembered a verse. I thought, God can do anything, anything, anything. You know, and I was looking for the verse. God works in mysterious and wonderful ways. That's a verse. I thought it was a verse. But you won't find that exact phrase in the Bible. But it is true. God works in mysterious ways. I don't understand his ways. I don't understand why all is happening what's happening. But you know, when I was looking up this verse, I got my computer and I put, you know, God works in mysterious ways. God works. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. But then as I was studying it a little bit more, I came across an English hymn writer, William Cowper, in 1773, he actually quoted, God moves in mysterious ways. And that thought probably came from Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, which says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declared the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, God is working. And you and I have the privilege to share that with other people. And they'll listen to it. You know, the most exciting thing, the most important part of this message, and the most important part in the sense of this biblical verses, is the verse, "Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there." When I read that, I was so excited. See, Philip was a friend. I believe he was a friend. I believe he was a friend, I believe, of Stephen. Because in Acts chapter 6, 5, one of the seven deacons selected to serve the church, Philip too. So can you imagine Philip seeing his friend? I believe it's the same Philip. I could be wrong. Again, email me. I don't mind. I'm always willing to learn. But they both were deacons. Philip and Stephen were Philip. Now, Philip could have said, "They killed my friend, Stephen." He could have been discouraged. He could have wanted to quit. It must have broken his heart to see his friend wrapped in grave clothes. It must have crushed him. It must have broken his heart to see his friend. I've been deacon in churches, assemblies, and we work pretty close together. We have meetings and meetings, not anymore, but when I was younger, we'd have meetings, and we'd sit there with our arm around each other. We'd be crying for the pueblo, the people of God. We'd be earnest and say, "God, how can we, and we work with the elders and the deacons work together, and those deacons are still friends of mine after 30, 40, 50 years. So can you imagine how Philip, he could have quit the church. He could have said, "Enough is enough. Adios, ciao, arrivederci, goodbye. I've had enough." But he didn't. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. That is so exciting. That was so exciting. You know, we've got to keep breathing. We gotta keep moving. We've got to keep living. We were encouraged last week by our dear brother. He was saying that we can enjoy, we can have the joy, the satisfaction. We can do the Father's will. We can walk in the light. And as we walk in the light, as we walk through Scripture with Jesus, and we keep moving and breathing and living and telling people about Jesus, this will be positive things coming out of this. Yes, there's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. Keep calm and put one foot in front of the others. If you read verse 5 out of context, look at verse 5. Take your Bibles, look at verse 5, 8, 5. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Now, if you read just that, you wouldn't have noticed that he just lost probably one of his best friends. You would have had no idea that this church had just suffered through a nightmare. It was a nightmare. The brutal murder of their most loved servant leader. He was the first one chosen as to be a disciple. Deacon. Now, if you only read verse 5, you'd think that Philip was going about business as usual, preaching as he always did before Stephen's death, going to new places just like Jesus had asked him to, living life as he did before his heart had been cut in two. But no, and that's the point. During this pandemic, you have two choices. either abandon your faith, and I'm not even suggesting that, or keep moving on. Take this and run with it for Jesus. You know, you are so privileged at 16. You know, if I wasn't busy, even though the pandemic, I'm pretty busy on things, but look at all the things you have. God has blessed you. So I say to you, biblically, as I said this morning, the stranger is not a stranger, and that we are to walk with Jesus during this time. Take time. Keep in step with Jesus. Show your joy. Step by step, but show your joy. It's inside you. I'm hurting. I had three different funerals I should have gone to. Three different people died. I think of what was a fellow from White Rock Low? Doug Fraser, for instance. Elder, deacon, Sunday school teacher, friend of mine. I couldn't go. How about Brassington? You know, Mr. Brassington was one of my mentors, and his son died. I couldn't go to his funeral. And I could go on and on. But inside, deep down, there's the joy of the Lord. When Philip allowed God to walk with him during these troublesome times, great things happened quickly. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. And when the crowds heard Philip and saw the miracle signs that he did, they paid close attention. Evil spirits were cast out. There was healing. Cripples came to walk. And they accepted the message of our dear brother. Wow, what a great persecution, great evangelism, great signs, and great joy. And we can maybe see that through this. A lot of positive things, really. We're learning a lot about physical hygiene. We're learning a lot about cleaning air, fewer cars on the road, planes in the sky. More contact with friend, family, more extra effort to stay in touch with the modern media. Learn to love and respect our neighbors with social distancing and masks, staying home. I mean, these are all positive things. Learning more technology. Zoom. Woo! I never knew what Zoom was. I thought Zoom was Zoom. Zoom! You know, go quickly. Preaching and teaching online. People are listening. People are asking questions. They don't want to see you face to face and ask some of the questions you're asking online. Renew appreciation for outdoors, God's nature. These are all positive things that we can go. Someday we'll look back and know exactly why it all happened. And in closing, I will remind you of one certainty. God has not changed. One day, as I said, we'll look back. My prayer that this message will help our assembly to live out its calling, meet the needs of the congregation, and protect the health of those in your church and community are critical. I don't know if our assemblies are going to open. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to affect them. I don't know. But I don't know if we're going to meet together as a group of Christians anymore. I don't know. I there's a lot of questions I still have. But let's, in closing, before I pray, listen just to this little refrain once again and be blessed by God.
Everything will be all right. Though the worst are getting, the world is in his hands. Your world is in his hands. The creator of the universe conquered every fear. Your world is in his hands. And everything will be all right. Everything will be alright.
View this pandemic as something positive and not as something negative. Thank you very much. We'll get out of here and we'll get back to Harold.